personal experience, now I can go back to being a friend. Jane's friendship with Sarah started with a dog. It was Sarah's dog, who she sadly had to rehome due to her declining health. Jane adopted the dog, and over a series of visits, their friendship grew. As Sarah progressed with PSP, Jane was not just Sarah's friend, but her advocate and her support. Giving up her beloved dog was heartbreaking for Sarah, Jane recalls, but we became friends almost instantly. I loved her company. She was fiercely independent, a former university professor with a strong spirit. But in the years that followed, that spirit would be tested, not just by Sarah's diagnosis of PSP, but by the harrowing experience they would both face navigating the care system. Sarah, now 66, lives at home with around-the-clock care, funded by NHS Continuing Healthcare CHC. Yet her biggest challenge wasn't securing a care package, it was securing carers who were capable, understanding and consistent. I assumed once Sarah had CHC, things would be straightforward, Jane says. It was anything but. The problem wasn't funding, it was the quality of care. What followed was a two-year ordeal of agency after agency failing to adequately meet Sarah's needs. The first agency sent in carers for two brief visits a day, often young men, untrained in the basics, they couldn't even fill a water bottle, Jane says. When Sarah needed more support, the agency couldn't deliver and had to be replaced. I thought it would improve from there. It got worse. The next agency provided three visits a day, but the carers refused to cook, clean or even light a fire. On several occasions, Sarah was left in distress, awaiting an ambulance alone. The pressure on emergency services mounted. Both CareLink and the ambulance service ultimately lodged complaints with the Care Quality Commission, CQC, due to the frequency and severity of the issues. I once heard a carer shouting at Sarah while I was on the phone with her, Jane says. It was heartbreaking. She was falling constantly. The emotional toll it took on her and me was immense. One day, the agency manager terminated their service during a meeting in Sarah's home. By pure luck, Jane had already begun the process of finding a new provider. CHC arranged emergency weekend cover, and yet another agency took over. Unfortunately, the problems didn't stop. Carers seemed poorly trained, and the agency pressured for a live-in carer against Sarah's express wishes. They kept calling me, treating me like I was part of the care team, Jane says. I told them again and again, I'm Sarah's friend, not her guardian. I had to step back for my own mental health. The agency ignored Sarah's wishes and moved in a live-in carer. She couldn't cook, she just stayed upstairs. We found mouldy food in the fridge. She was feeding Sarah rotten cheese, Jane says. It was shocking. Another living carer replaced her within a week. Again, untrained, unable to communicate and unsupported. Finally, with persistent advocacy and support from the local hospice team, Sarah was connected with a reliable provider. She now has regular, trained carers who provide care in the daytime and at night. These carers are different, Jane says. They clean, cook and genuinely care. They engage with Sarah, not their phones. It's the first time in years I felt she was truly safe, but the damage had been done. Throughout all of this, people kept saying Sarah's so lucky she has CHC. But it didn't feel lucky. It felt like we were fighting a system that cared more about budget than well-being. The stress Sarah experienced took a toll on her physical and mental health. Even routine CHC reviews became difficult. A stranger from CHC came to assess her, knowing nothing about her. The meeting was cancelled last minute, then moved to be a phone call. Sarah can't speak for more than 30 seconds. When it did happen, it was an interrogation. It left her shaken. Jane, too, was left emotionally drained. I still have counselling through the hospice, she admits. For a long time, every time my phone rang, my stomach would drop. Now that the care is working, Jane is able to go back to being Sarah's friend. She said, I'm grateful that every moment I spend with Sarah now is risk-free. I hope the days of me driving to Sarah's with my heart in my mouth, stressed at what crisis I was walking into, are long gone. Now, we can simply be friends.